I invite you to remain seated as we'll start our service a little differently this morning. As I'm sure all of you know, and if not, you will now, there was an assassination attempt on the former president and current political presidential candidate Donald Trump last evening. I'll just read from one of the news articles that I saw. I think this names it pretty well. The harrowing act of political violence in Pennsylvania through an election that has already fractured a deeply divided country into further disarray. The last time a U.S. president or former president was wounded in an assassination attempt was in 1981, which is, by some quick math, over 40 years ago. So I would like to start our service with some silence for your own prayers, and then I will pray aloud, and we will pray together. So I invite you to pray for our nation. I invite you to pray for this world. I invite you to pray for Donald Trump. I invite you to pray for those killed, including the gunman, the gunman's family, right? A young 20-year-old. I invite you to pray for those wounded, that they may be fully healed. And I invite you to pray for the healing of this nation. Good and gracious God, we know that you are a good creator, that you are a good father to us all. And yet we also do not always understand your ways. We pray for the healing of the United States, of this nation, of this fractured people, a people who have witnessed our division turn into violence at the highest levels. We pray that this division may be healed. We pray for a political discourse that is tempered. We raise our voices to you as one, as your people, that you may be with those who were killed in yesterday's attack, with the family of the families of those killed in yesterday's attack, including the innocent bystander, including the family of the 20-year-old gunman. The grief that they must be experiencing, we cannot know. Please comfort them in that grief and in their lack of understanding of what and why this happened. Please be with those who were injured. Please heal them. Please bring them back to wholeness of health. Please show us the way as your church and as your people as we leave this place today to know what to say and to do as your people. People who provide a pathway for you in this world. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, the ruler of all, the King of Kings, that we pray all of these things. Amen. I invite you to stand as we are called to worship today. This is the day that the Lord has made. In Christ we have received an inheritance. It is so very good for us to be here today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our soul. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Church of God.
O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Amos, the 7th chapter. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid to waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee from the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. The word of the Lord. I invite you to read responsively with me from Psalm 85. Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other.
Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky.
The Lord will give what is good, and your land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him, and will be on path for his steps.
Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the 1st chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his good will according to the good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. So that we, who are the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and had believed in him were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. For some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah, and others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and a holy man, and protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give it, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, and out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Stay. This is awkward. Everybody's so quiet. My kids must be tired today. So last night at 7:59, received a text from my brother, Ryan. It said, better start revising your sermon. And I asked why, of course, and it simply said, turn on the news. So I did. And as we all know, the news was that Donald Trump, a former U.S. president, a current presidential candidate, he was nearly assassinated. His ear was grazed by a bullet at a campaign rally. There was one person in the crowd dead, two others critically injured, countless lives forever changed. And I texted three words back to my brother, one of which I can't say in church, because I was dismayed and frustrated. Yes, at what had just happened, but perhaps mostly because when I turned on the news and what I saw, I wasn't even surprised. So let's pause to consider that. Given the political climate, the vitriol, the rhetoric, how we treat each other in this nation, especially when it comes to all things politics, which then spills out into every other aspect of our lives, I wasn't surprised to turn on the news, as my brother instructed, and for the first time in 40 years, see a current or former president being shot. How could that not surprise me? That is why I was disappointed. Something else happened at 7:59 exactly last night, and I cannot make this up. I looked at the timestamps. I hit save on what was today's sermon, the first version. So if you're keeping track of the timestamps, I finished my sermon at almost the exact same time as my brother texted and said, that sermon you already wrote, it doesn't count anymore. Just file it away for, you know, never. He said, you know, basically, bet you wish you didn't have to go preach a sermon tomorrow, because after I read the news, I was like, I really don't want to preach tomorrow. And he was right-ish about needing to rewrite my sermon, but only sort of. So I waited for a few hours, I read the news, I thought about what this really means for us. Us people, us Christians here today in Galleon, Ohio, us Christians here in the United States of America. I thought about our scripture readings for today, particularly the one from Mark and the one from Amos, because that was going to be what my sermon was about. And then I reread the very end of my first sermon for today. And here's what some really smart guy wrote. We, don't laugh, we, as in you and I, we are the not prophets. I will get back to what that means in a moment. We are the not prophets. We are dressers of sycamore trees, and we are herdsmen. We are nobodies. And we are the ones who God calls into partnership, the ones with raised voices that together with God are called to bring God's kingdom to the here and the now. And that is the message that I bring today in this sermon. So he was kind of right. I did have to rewrite my sermon, but not completely, because this is the message. Also, when I was over at St. Paul this morning, as I was reading the psalm, I heard this, and it really caught my mind, and it really connects in with this sermon. Righteousness shall go before the Lord and shall prepare for God a pathway. We are the ones who God calls into partnership, the ones with raised voices that together with God are being called to bring God's kingdom to the here and now. We are to prepare for God a pathway, says the psalmist. We are to prepare for God a pathway in this world right now. We, as an American Christians, you and I, we have a role to play in what is going on in this country, and it is as important now today in the aftermath of an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, I think, than it ever has been, at least in my own lifetime. I'm not as old as most of y'all. I think that means that we must talk about how we as Christians are to talk and act and conduct ourselves when we talk about politics. Because guess what? was a 20-year-old, a 20-year-old who did that shooting yesterday. Young ears, hear what we say. Young eyes, see what we do. We cannot come to this place. We cannot hear and receive the word of God in scripture and in song and in preaching and in the sacraments that sit right now up on that altar and then leave this place hating the candidates and their supporters on the other side of the aisle. That is something that we save for within the church. You over here, you hate the people over there because they're the ones that sit on that side of the aisle. You over here, this is a joke, guys. It's funny. You over here, it killed in the other church. You over here hate the ones that sit over there. And when they come over here and sit in your seat, you get mad at them, right? We save that for in the church. But out there, we must love the person on the other side of the aisle. We must find a way to disagree with one another and not resort to violence, to not shoot the other person. I mean, that's a pretty low bar. We can and we must, as Christians here in the United States in 2024, lead the way. And scripture, as always, should be our starting point. Today, I think Amos is that scripture. Amos is what I will call, or who I will call, a not-prophet prophet. Amos rejects the name prophet. He declares, I am no prophet. My father before me, he was not a prophet. I'm a simple man. I'm from a simple family. I'm a herdsman. I'm a dresser of sycamore trees. Now, I need to give you a little bit of a context on what a dresser of sycamore trees is. Anybody know what that means? And no, it's not one who trims sycamore trees. Anybody know? Okay. So, a sycamore tree in Palestine, that is in the southern kingdom of Judah where Amos was from, it's not like the American sycamore. You know the American sycamore. It's these giant trees that could probably reach to the top of this sanctuary. And their leaves are bigger than my face, okay? Those are the American sycamore. But this Palestinian sycamore tree, it is a tree that is more like a poor man's fig tree. It's much smaller, and it bears a fruit similar to a fig, but not quite as good as a fig. And it takes work to make that fruit edible. The dresser, that's Amos, would go to the tree and split that fruit while it was still on the tree, and this would make it ripen much faster, and it would make the fruit, once it fully ripens, sweeter and edible. And this, along with herding, that was Amos's job. He was no prophet. But the priest Amaziah, he did not like Amos. Amaziah was the head priest at Bethel. It was the center of worship in the northern kingdom of Israel, just like Jerusalem was the center of worship in the southern kingdom. He told Amos, go earn your bread in Judah. Go prophesy down there. Because that is, after all, where Amos was from. Amaziah, and calling Amos a prophet, is ridiculing him. Especially with the earn your bread remark. He is suggesting perhaps that Amos is a professional pot stirrer. Go stir the pot in your own kingdom and make money there. But I love Amos's answer today. I'm not a prophet. I am a dresser of sycamore trees. I tend flocks, and yet I cannot leave here because the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. And even though he was called to prophesy, to pronounce a warning and judgment against Israel, Amos knew himself to be a not prophet, a dresser of sycamore trees, a tender of flocks. That is how Amos thought of himself. But he had another calling. So do we. We, like Amos, are not prophets. We are just ordinary people. We are farmers and retirees. We got a lot of those here, I think. We are students, right? We are teachers and educators. We are nurses. We are occupational therapists. We work in the medical fields. We are electricians. We are machinists. We are small business owners. We are carpenters, retail workers, food service workers. We are factory workers. We are white-collar workers, blue-collar workers, childcare workers. We are office administrators, counselors, military, police, fire, EMS. We raise children, and we care for a home. A surprising number of us here today are engineers turned pastors. I don't know, just saying, hey, I finally got a laugh. And like Amos, we are not prophets. We are not prophets, just ordinary people, just Christians called to live out our baptismal vocation, the vocation of going out of this place each and every week, each and every day, to an everyday world, to encounter our neighbors and our enemies alike, clothed in Jesus Christ, preparing for God a pathway. And you're asking, but what does any of this mean? Am I a prophet or a not prophet? Because you said I'm a not prophet. But what am I supposed to do? So allow me to clarify. You aren't prophets. You're not prophets. Does that help? Okay, probably not. If you had a business card, none of them would say prophet, right? It would say all of those vocations that I named, or maybe some that I missed. But within these vocations, within our time out in this world, in the daily call of our lives, we are called to witness prophetically. It is within our vocations that we witness prophetically. And yes, student is a vocation. Retired is a vocation. I have to say, though, being a prophet, even a not prophet as we are, isn't easy. Just ask John the Baptist today. Oh, wait, you can't. His head is on a platter. That is always the risk of the prophet. And still, we are called to prepare for God a pathway, and we can and we must. I find myself a bit nervous even giving this sermon today, because this is a prophetic sermon, because it says the word politics in it. And when you say politics in a sermon, you risk yourself. Maybe you brought stones in with you today, and you're going to chuck them at me while I'm giving it. Even though this sermon isn't about politics. It's a sermon about how we talk about politics. A prophet must pronounce judgment by delivering the law. For instance, this is law, and I think it's a good law for us to hear today. Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Weird. I could have sworn it said love the one who votes like you. As Christians, when we leave this place, this is the message we must live out and the message we must prophesy. Love God and love the neighbor. And enemies, guess what? They are neighbors. Those with different political viewpoints and those opposing candidates, they are neighbors. And we love them too. Our voices, our Christian voices, must loudly and prophetically denounce this rapid shift toward hating the other candidate and their supporters to the point that we resort to assassination attempts and other forms of violence. This is a prophetic voice, and I think we are called to proclaim this message now, as in today, as in don't wait till tomorrow, as in tomorrow, and then all of the week, and then all of next week, and the week after that, and then the next month, and then through November, and on and on and on and on and on, because we shall prepare, because we shall prepare a pathway for God. But love your neighbor as yourself. Before we go out prophesying to others, we must hold up that mirror, that law to ourselves, right? This is a pretty tough one, I think. I struggle with this one, I know. Love thy neighbor as ourselves. How do we do that? Love thy neighbor of a different political persuasion. Does this law, does it convict us? And if so, how might we first work on loving that idiot who votes wrong? How might we do that ourselves? Perhaps it's by finding points of agreement. Maybe that's the very first part. Maybe we can agree that assassination attempts, no matter what our political persuasion or whose candidate was in the crossfire, they are terrible. Terrible for the candidate, terrible for those who were killed, terrible for those who were injured, terrible for this nation, terrible for humanity. And if from this place we can find our collective prophetic voices and say, enough is enough already. If as Christians we can say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, and therefore I love my neighbor as myself. And if we act this out, this love, even in political discourse, especially in political discourse, then there is hope. Because we are Christians and we always have hope. So let me be clear about something. I have hope. But my hope is not in either of the two political candidates running for president this year, or in 2028, or in 2032, or any year after that, because Scripture shows us time and time and time again that even the best ones, the rulers who are most faithful to God, see King David, even they will fall short and they will fail their people. And I'm not saying that these elections don't matter. I think they do, which is why we talk about them in the first place, which is why I'm encouraging us to talk about them in loving ways. These are important things. And yet my hope is not found in the rulers and the kings and the presidents. My hope, and I think our hope, lies in Christ crucified and risen. Our hope is in God. And we proclaim that with our prophetic witness. This is what will bring about real change in our communities, in this country, and in this world. Grassroots prophetic witness, you and I saying enough is enough already. It is time to demonstrate our love for God by actually loving one another in word and in deed. It is time to end the vitriol, the violence, the damaging rhetoric, and instead provoke love. We are to provoke love by standing against hate. We are invited by God to participate, to bring God's preferred future into the now. This is our hope. God is our hope. Jesus Christ crucified is our hope and our only hope, and only God can save us. And God will use us Christians who clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ and go out there into the world. We cannot wait and hope that it comes from on high, and by that I mean as in a political or ruling class. Our hope is Christ crucified and risen, the Christ that we put on, the Christ that protects us as we leave this place in courageous hope to prophetically witness in word and in deed to prepare for God a pathway. God has a preferred future for us as a people and for this God's good creation. God has a preferred future. And I can assure you that yesterday was not it. And still, we remain a people of hope, confident that God's will be done in the now, in the here and now. We cry it out every day or every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." And you know what's funny? The end of my sermon, between that first one that my brother told me to revise and this one here now, it has not changed one bit, which might seem strange, but it's not, because God has not changed from yesterday to today. God does not change. God is our rock. God is our foundation. And therefore, our hope, it does not change. So here goes. We, as in you and I, we are the not prophets. We are mere dressers of sycamore trees and herdsmen. We are the nobodies. We are the nobodies. And we are the ones who God calls into partnership, the ones with raised voices that together with God are being called to bring God's kingdom to the here and the now today. And I'll add, we are the ones that are called to prepare for God a pathway. And for that invitation by God into the work of God, all I can say is thanks be to God. Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at
for Patsy Watkins, who has cancer. Any others this morning? Let us pray. One, in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer.
You gather your people into the body of Christ, where the church is right, strengthen it. Lead and guide First and St. Paul churches as we continue in partnership. Where the church is divided, reunite it. We pray that all the churches of the former Crawford County Lutheran Partnership find their path, that divisions and wounds may someday be healed, and that we may someday worship again as a cooperative ministry. In your mercy.
Hear our prayer. You establish equity and make justice. Within every nation, tribe, and land, cause laws to be written and customs to be observed that protect the most vulnerable. The United States is a powerful nation whose founding principles demand justice for all peoples. Where there is injustice in this country and elsewhere, may we use our influence for the good of those who have no power, especially the homeless in the U.S. and in other nations, for refugees in places like Ukraine and Gaza, and migrants in all parts of this world. In your mercy.
Hear our prayer. From before the foundation of the world, you are God. Revive ecosystems destroyed by human ignorance, indifference, and greed. Curb our desire to put wealth and power ahead of the health of all peoples, creatures, plants that called God's good creation to their home. Remind us that we are called to steward the earth that it may provide food and sustenance for all, not just the powerful few. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. On the cross, your beloved Son, Jesus, endured pain and death. Bring healing to those in need, hope to any in despair, and comfort to the dying. We pray especially this day for the family and friends of Mike Snyder, for Kathy and Susie, Barb, Aaron, Jane, Noel, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, for Jean, for Patsy Watkins, for all who are lost and are searching for guidance, for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. In your mercy.
You send your spirit into this community of faith. Empower our ministries that serve and build up local communities, including our meal ministry, prayer shawl outreach, and our continued relationship with Mill Creek Assisted Living Facility, and the ministries of the Hope Team. Nurture our partnerships with other organizations, especially Cooperative Christian Services of Galleon. In your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Lord, this day we pray for this nation. We pray for all people who have been impacted by the shooting and assassination attempt yesterday. Be with the family and friends of the victims. Be with all of us out as we find a path forward, and all of us Christians as we prepare the path for God. In your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with one another and walk in doing so.
us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen. Amen.
Whenever I come up here and there is one of these little boxes, it brings me joy because it means that one of you is taking communion to someone who cannot come here to us. So thank you for all who participate in that ministry. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Christ has set this table with his very self, his own body and blood. So come to this table where all are always welcome and be restored.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
Amen. A few announcements. I will keep them as brief as possible. First of all, please stay after the service today if you can. No, it's already long. It's fine. We will be having an informational meeting regarding us, First Lutheran, expanding our relationship with the CCSG, Cooperative Christian Services with Galleon. So in this meeting, we'll talk about what it means for CCSG, for First Lutheran. We will answer whatever questions you might have and let you know how you may be able to help out with an important ministry here in Galleon. Prayer Shawl Outreach is on Tuesday, 3:15 at Mill Creek. If you're interested in joining Tammy over yonder. And so I will be here next Sunday, so y'all better be here. And immediately after the service, we are driving not into anywhere in Ohio, and we will not be, I will not be available for pastoral care emergencies. I will provide information on who is to be contacted for pastoral care emergencies. I will not be here the following Sunday. I believe, unless you all have changed your mind, Mike and Kevin are jointly leading a healing service. It will be sort of a healing service within probably a normal worship service, but there will be some different things about it. I'm actually kind of excited about it. So I hope that you will come here for that. And the following Sunday, I have to ask somebody, which I haven't done yet, I don't even know who, to be a worship leader in my absence. And I plan to record a sermon, and you can watch it up there. We've never tried that, or at least recently, or I've never tried that here. My goal is to record a sermon from out in the middle of nowhere where I plan to be on that preaching retreat that week. So, and then I will be here the following Sunday. Look for more information in the newsletter on all of those details and in next Sunday's bulletin. But I just wanted to let you know that ahead of time. Any other announcements, Mike? Anything else this morning? All right. Please don't leave after the service unless, you know, you have really good reason to, because we would like to inform you about what we have going on. With that, please stand as in body or in spirit for a blessing. Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord's face shine upon us with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
God's prophets are ordinary people called to deliver an extraordinary message.
Go, therefore, and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen.